Perfect. Perfect.
Coming to you live from the basement of an abandoned training facility where we talk about fighting, training, and events. It's the Fight Mixer Show, where you can hear about all the local and world combat sports happenings. Get ready. It's time to gear up and square up because we're going live.
Live
on the Fight Mixer Show.
Yo, what's going on, all y'all big dick fans watching at home? Welcome to the Fight Mixer. We brought in, so Justin couldn't make it tonight, so we called him the wolf, the man himself, Vince Anderson from Bare Knuckles and Bruise. What's going on, brother?
What's up, man? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming
on, man.
It's
an awesome show you guys have here.
Thanks for fucking coming on, man. And tell us a little bit about your show. And, you know, you cover bare knuckle boxing. We always bring on guests. Tell us a little bit about your show, brother.
Oh, man. So we focus on just bare knuckle fighting. No, we've kind of been into it for a while. My guest is also a fighter for BKFC and a cut man for BKFC, Sheena Starr. She's kind of been out for a little while lately with some family issues, but we're pushing on through. But yeah, I mean, we kind of, sit around, have a couple brews and talk some bare knuckle. And it's been a lot of fun, man. We go to all the events. Just try to keep up to date and, you know, give the fighters a platform to talk. And I kind of have this thing where I hate kind of being like the typical radio guy or whatever. I always hate the kind of like the introduction things and just kind of all the kind of cheesy stuff that as things that I see as cheesy. And I just try to skip to like the real shit and just talk to people like their friends. You know what I mean? Just try to talk just like you're sitting at home drinking a beer and, you know, shooting the shit. So that's what we try to make our show about.
So you pretty much skip all the cheesy shit, everything that I do every single episode. That's
yeah, I thought about that halfway through. I don't know enough, about what you guys.
There's a little bit of that here.
Yeah, I like your show. It's necessary. It's very necessary.
I like your show. I think you're still really like my show already. So,
yeah.
So obviously Sheena Starr, and we're pushing for you, Sheena. I know about the family issues. Well, you know, Sheena is one of my favorite individuals on the planet Earth. I mean, she's such a great gal, and I caught glimpses of your show. You guys have a great product, man, and you're covering a sport that's on the rise. You know, bare knuckle boxing is really catching fire, man. Like, it really is.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's exciting to be a part of, and I would almost correct you by saying that it's not bare knuckle boxing. We're gonna have Chris Lytle on in a little bit. He'll be able to kind of talk about it a little bit more. But it's more bare knuckle fighting because it's not just boxing, right? You have the half plums, you have the clinches, you have, you know, a standard rule set. It's not necessarily just boxing without gloves.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's on the rise, man. It's fun to be a part of something that's. It's moving so quickly, and, you know, we're excited about what's to come.
I'm excited to hear it every single week, and we have Cleveland McLean. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. How everybody else doing?
Doing great, man. Doing great. And we have Vince Anderson from Bare Knuckle and Bruise. He's going to be interviewing as well. So how's training been? How's everything going? What's been going on in your world, man?
Training been coming along pretty good. I got a couple of injuries from my fight, from kicking. I kicked his knee with my leg, whatever. So I'm still trying to recover from that. Like, every time I train, I'm like, okay, I can go train. And, like, every time I explode off of it, I feel the pain. So I'm trying to ease my way back into that. Train as much as I can.
What type of kicks was it? Because I know your last fight, it was a tough split decision. I mean, you fought like a champ, you fought like a warrior, and, you know, kudos to you for that. But what type of kicks, like, were they, like, kicks to the knees? Because I heard a lot of stories.
Yeah, it was a leg kick. It was leg kick to, like, the last kick was to his knee, man. And
he checked it.
Yeah, he did.
So I mean, is it the top of the foot, or is it the shin, or?
Oh, yeah, it's the top of the foot.
Yeah, that's always the toughest, right? The shin can normally take it. It's the top of the foot that's always, you know, the weak part.
I mean, worse things could have happened. I mean, it could have been like Chris Weidman and Anderson Silva. I mean, it could have been worse, you know?
True.
I'm glad you're still walking. I'm glad you're still healthy. So, you know, take us through. Like, you know, you've had a long career, man. Like, how can you sum it up? Like, how can you talk about it? 12-9, I mean, 21 fights. I mean, what can you say about your career, like, so far?
It went by so fast. It don't feel like I had that many fights until like my coach Julian Williams, like, no, you know, this guy got 20 fights or this guy got 21 fights. Actually, I actually forget about it until somebody says it.
Right. And you started off in 2012, right?
I think I went pro in 2013, I believe. Or 13 or 14. I had my first amateur in 2011, I believe.
Jesus fucking Christ, man. That's a long career.
That's a lot of fights. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah.
God damn, man. So how's recovery?
Staying busy.
Are you back in the gym yet, or are you?
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm back in the gym. I just try to make sure I don't injure myself. That's about it.
So what can you do now? I mean, are you sparring or just doing workouts, just keeping healthy, just keeping in shape?
I can do everything. I don't kick though. Like if I do spar, I just do more like boxing, sparring. I can't really kick that much. But other than that, I'm good.
I mean, if you want to get into bare knuckle boxing, Vince is the guy to talk to.
I actually thought about it.
Hey, we're on the come up, man. They're doing this new series. It's kind of like the contender series for UFC. It's called Toe the Line, where people like are given an opportunity to prove themselves and get on a main card. So, you know, if you ever want to throw the gloves off, man, holler at your boy. We might be able to point you in the right direction.
Oh, man. It looks like a lot of fun, honestly.
Oh, man, like it's a lot of fun. It's a great time. Those two-minute rounds are, you know, it's going from like a steady jog or steady, you know, like marathon run to like a sprint, right? It's sprinting the entire time.
Dude, 2 minutes. I spar like 2 minutes. We do like 2 minute warm ups. Dude, it goes by so fast.
Yeah,
go by so fast compared to 5 minutes.
Yeah,
it's like right when you
whenever you use the 5 minutes, 2 minutes over. Yeah. You gotta do your work. That's right.
You gotta go in there guns blazing, bro.
That's right. Yeah.
You know what? Like bare knuckle fighting, because Vince corrected me. Like I said, bare knuckle boxing, but he corrected me and said bare knuckle fighting. It seems like a safer form of Valetudo. Like back in the day, there were a bunch of promotions that popped up in Brazil, and they were just bare knuckle. I mean, Vanderlei Silva fought there. You have Silvio fought there. Jose Pele, Liddell fought there. Like it reminds me so much of Valetudo, except you're not fighting on the ground. I mean, like Cleveland. Like, what do you think about the sport itself? Do you think it's on the rise? Do you think it's a competitor to mixed martial arts and just an extension of it? And Vince, too. You answer this question, too.
I'll let him go first.
yeah, I don't think that it's necessarily a competitor to MMA. I think it's a sport all on its own. And I think it's similar to, like, Lethway, almost. but you know what? It's even safer than, like, Lethway or even, like, Muay Thai. I mean, shit, man! You catch a shin to the head or an elbow to the face, then you know that's a lot scary. Worse than just catching a knuckle, right? So, you know, a lot of people, or at least the critics, have called it like a blood sport, but it's actually, man, it's been proven to be safer, right? You're not taking like in boxing, you're not taking repeated blows with like padded, you know, the padded gloves, you know, with the shock absorption to the head. You're not taking repeated blows. You know, all the cuts and, you know, all the bleeding or whatever is superficial. I mean, you put a couple stitches in and it heals up and you hardly even see it. So, I think it's great, man. I love it. If you ever go to a live event and hear just that kind of, you know, that knuckle on face sound, you'll be a fan. You can't not be a fan if you attend one live.
Oh, man. I was supposed to go to one of y'all events because Jim Eller was fighting, but I ended up
missing. That's my boy.
Yeah,
I love Jim.
So does your career, like, do you ever branch out and, like, compete in, like, Naga tournaments? Like, are you open to, like, bare knuckle, like, jiu-jitsu tournaments? Or are you straightforward? Because you talk to most fighters, and they're they're straight on the path. They want to go to the UFC, Bellator, Ryzen, One. Like, are you open to, like, maybe competing in boxing, maybe competing in bare knuckle, jiu-jitsu, or is your sole focus is getting to the bigger leagues? So,
whoever's paying, probably.
My main goal is to get to one of the top promotions, but at the same time, I want to have fun while I'm on my way there. I wouldn't mind doing a bare knuckles or a Naga tournament or something like that. It seems like every time a Naga tournament is around Orlando, I have a fight like within like 2 or 3 weeks. So I'm like, all right, I can't take it because I don't want to get injured.
Slip up and get caught in a heel hook or something, and there goes your camp. Yeah.
Worse, man. So, like, what was your base? Like, how'd you get started with mixed martial arts? Did you start off wrestling, boxing, kicking people's asses in high school? Like, how'd you get started?
I started off wrestling, and I was actually working at a gas station, and one of the guys I talked into wrestling, he actually started mixed martial arts first. He used to come to the gas station like every day, like, bro, I go to this MMA gym. I didn't even know what it was at first. I go to this MMA gym, bro, you gotta try it. It's like wrestling, you gotta try it. Then, like, he came for like 2 or 3 weeks straight. I'm like, all right, okay, I'm gonna try it. I went to one class, I'm like, you know what, I like this, and I've been doing it ever since. Actually, he stopped doing it, and I'm still doing it. So
what do you think about working with Titan? I mean, we're very close with Titan, or Justin, the cameraman, is actually one of the co-hosts. So what's your overall opinion and assessment of Titan?
I like Titan. I've had two fights with Titan. The knockout I got in February and the last fight I just had. Oh, man, I thought I won that fight, but it is what it is. Judges see different things, but I thought I did enough to win, but we'll see next time I fight with him. I just got to finish whoever I fight next time.
Vince, are the judges bullshit in bare knuckle as opposed to MMA? Because judges are, we need your help, brother. We need your help.
Ah, man. You know, I can't speak on that a ton because I have pretty close relations to a lot of them, but I can say at this last event, we had actual referees that were judges, right? You had like Bill Clancy, you had like, you know, Dan Mergliotta, you had Wayne Spinola. When they weren't reffing, they were acting as judges. So, I mean, you can't get much better than that, man. Those guys have a great eye. So, you know, can't complain. You know, that's not always the case, but this past event, BKFC 11, that was the case. And, you know, you can't get much better than that.
So just asking both of you a question. Would the sport just be overall better if, like, in order to be a judge, you have to actually fight? You actually have to train, be in training, actually take a fight? Well, wouldn't MMA be better if just judges were all-around fighters? And
I feel like that should be mandatory. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I feel like that should be mandatory.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, you know, I got a good friend that fought in the UFC, and he fights in bare knuckle. And he had in the UFC, he had one of his judges was a dentist. Like, that's what he did. Like, he was just a dentist by day. And then he was sanctioned by, you know, Nevada Athletic State Athletic Commission as a judge, you know, on the weekend. So he judged UFC fights, and it was just crazy. Yeah.
I'm fucking believable. Like, who'd want, like, as a fighter, you go through training camp, and Cleveland, you know this better than anybody. You go through training camp. And you work your ass off. And then, you know, you have three bullshit judges, and it goes to a decision, and they give it to the other guy. I mean, is that frustrating from your perspective?
Very, very, very frustrating. Because I look at it like this. Like, if you watch, like, UFC fights or, like, Bellator fights, when they're talking about the fights, they always say, like, it's whoever do more damage or more control or stuff like that. So when I come to, so my fight, my third round, I'm like, all right, I got to win this. I have to show that I won to win the fight. And I felt like I showed that I wanted to win the fight the whole time. And I think the guy threw like three punches the whole time, the third round. So I understood he took me down and like he got the rear neck, but I reversed it. I end up on top. I did ground the pound a little bit. And then I let him up to do more striking. He literally pushed me against the cage to hold me. So I don't understand how you could look at that third round and look like, okay, that guy wanted to win the fight. Like it ain't no way you could see that. Like, I just don't understand what the judges be seeing. And every judge is different though. So it's like, they should have something like set in play for all the judges.
Do you feel like he was like sort of like point fighting with you? Like, Vince, you have to check out his last two fights. So your last fight before this fight that went to split decision, you got screwed. You knocked him out in like the first what minute? Like, you fucking just dive off the shed of him. He was out within the first round. And then the second fight, your last fight, you know, it seemed like he was there to point fight. He was there to be meticulous, be a chess player, stalling whenever he could, pick his shots. And it seemed like he was cruising to a decision. Like, you feel like that assessment is correct? Like,
yeah, he was a jiu-jitsu guy. Like, in the first round, I was piecing him up. Then he took me down. And, like, I'm trying to get up, but he just holding me down. And, like, it's not like, okay, you took me down and you're ground and pounding or something. You're literally taking me down and holding me down to hold it for dear life. Because, you know, if it stand up, Cleveland's going to whoop my ass. So I'm just going to hold here as long as I can. And the ref just let him do it. And the judges, like, I don't see how the judges can even see that's how you win a fight. I don't understand it.
That's why judges need to be educated and need to actually fight or go into a grappling tournament. Because, you know, being in somebody's guard and somebody even on bottom and someone being in your guard should be a neutral position. Like, you get taken down and you land in somebody's guard, that should be a neutral position. I mean, if you're still working on the bottom and you're working on submissions, you're striking and blah, 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 that should be a neutral position. You shouldn't be held there. And I think I don't know if you ever seen Pride, but, you know, stand back up. I mean, if he's stalling his balls off.
Exactly. That yellow card.
Exactly. Yellow card the fuck out of him. This is the stuff that gives me Vietnam flashbacks, Cleveland. Like, this is the shit that screws over good fighters like yourself. And the sport needs to, like, change and evolve. But, like, what can you assess the sport? Like, because obviously now it's under the confines of publicly traded companies. Now, multi-billion-dollar Titan FC is associated with UFC Fight Pass. Like, what do you see from the sport and how it needs to change besides just being judges?
I don't know, man. I think they should have like a system, like not just the judges, just like from regional level, because like how people get on the contenders, it's more like, or you get a winning streak, but at the same time, you have to have a fan base. They should have like a structure, like kind of like wrestling, a regional level. You beat the guys in your state, and you work your way up to a contract or something like that. That's how I feel like it should be some way, shape, or form.
Right, and just like boxing. Like, boxing has that, the Muhammad Ali Act, where it goes by rankings. And it's a very controversial topic, the Muhammad Ali Act. Because MMA doesn't want anything to do with that, because then you have to pay them all equally. It has to have a ranking system. You know, you have to move up the ranks in order to get a title shot. That's a very controversial topic. I don't know if you researched the Muhammad Ali Act. I'm a big supporter.
I heard MMA. About it.
Yeah. What have you heard about the Muhammad Ali Act, and do you support it?
I heard about that, which they have to get paid a certain amount of money when they do not only title fights, when they're like on the card or something like that, and the fighters can like, what's the word I'm looking for? I lost the word I was looking for. Sorry, but oh man, you have to come back to about. I lost what I was looking for.
I gotcha. And Vince is joining us back, but we were talking about the Muhammad Ali Act and how rankings, because MMA is sort of becoming like a popularity contest where, if, you know, you get that big fight if you, you know, it not just if you rise up the rankings, but also if fans want to see you, if they pay money to see you, if they buy your Reebok bullshit. Like, what do you think about the Muhammad Ali Act? And is there any type of semblance of a ranking system with bare knuckle?
Yeah, well, we have the Bare Knuckle Hall of Fame. And actually, the lineage, the heavyweight lineage that Tyson Fury owns right now can be traced all the way back to John L. Sullivan, who was the first, you know, recipient of the Police Gazette bare knuckle title. So, I mean, if you follow the lineage back from Tyson Fury, it'll go all the way back to John L. Sullivan. So we still abide by, you know, the Bare Knuckle Hall of Fame rankings. Scott Burt, a friend of mine, great guy. He puts out his rankings once in a while. And yeah, that's kind of where we go for the most part. BKFC kind of does their own rankings as well, so it's kind of like a joint venture with the Bare Knuckle Hall of Fame and BKFC. So, you know, it's working, man. It's working so far. It's legitimate, and you know, like I said, Scott Burt does a really good job of keeping you know, official records. And he actually has the gym that John L. Sullivan trained in northern New York, upstate New York. And, you know, he has all the old rings, all the old, you know, records and everything to kind of keep track of all that stuff. So, yeah, I mean, that's kind of how we roll in BKFC.
Awesome, man. And Anthony Cruz has said it is the ranking system in MMA. It sucks. Anthony, I agree with you. But yeah. Going back to lineage and going back to prestige and going back to the great boxers and MMA fighters that we all grew up watching, Cleveland, who was your biggest influence?
Oh, man, I started watching boxing back in 2002. I think I was in the 7th or 8th grade. I started watching Floyd Mayweather. Mayweather and it was Ricky White. Is it Ricky Wright? No, yeah, Ricky Wright. I think I'm saying it right. I'm sorry if I'm not saying it right. Sorry. I know he was a southpaw, light-skinned guy, and I think he was from Florida, too. I think he trained in Florida. I think it was Ricky Wright. I think it was Ricky Wright. I'm pretty sure that's his name.
Google, where are you at?
I'm in my room, but I didn't want to, like, because I didn't want to, like, Googling it, like, it goes black or something. So.
It's okay. Vince, so, you know, talking about the great boxers, I would like a Floyd Mayweather or like a Mike Tyson bare in bare knuckle. Like, would it be the first like death in bare knuckle boxing? Or like, you know, that it just seems like, you know, even though with bare knuckle boxing, it seems like it's dangerous. You know, gloves, MMA gloves, boxing gloves, and hand wraps are all to protect pretty much the wrist. You know, it's not protecting anyone's fist from hitting. I've been hit with all three. They all suck equally. But like, How would like a Mike Tyson or like a boxer like Floyd Mayweather fare in bare knuckle, you feel?
I mean, it's a different game, man. It's a different game. You know, you really have to pick your shots. You have to be a little more accurate with the shots because someone ducks their head like this and you hit the crown of the head or, you know, up here, you know, too much, you're going to break hands. I mean, that's just part of the game. So you have to pick those shots. We were hoping to get Mike Tyson at one point. Wow. Feldman offered him like $20 million or something to come fight for BKFC. Yeah. And we were hoping, but you know, there were guys lined up that would, you know, be willing to get in the ring with him. They're crazy as fuck, if you ask me. I don't know that I would ever want to get hit with a Mike Tyson bare knuckle, but you know, yeah, I mean, we've got some bangers, though, man. We've got some bangers. You know, we got Shannon Briggs. I mean, he's a pretty mean dude. He's a pretty big dude. So, you know, he's gonna land some pretty good shots too. Now Mayweather, you know, he dances too much. He runs too much. I don't think he would make it in our sport just because we demand action, and you know, you can't just run. You got to take them track shoes off whenever you step in the squared circle.
He's more of a defensive fighter.
Yeah, man. He's a counter puncher. He does his little, you know, shoulder and Philly roll kind of thing he does. But,
Mike Tyson, on the other hand, oh, man. Have you ever seen one of those memes? Like, I think the memes, like, would you take $10 million to get punched in the face by Mike Tyson or something like that?
No fucking way.
Nah, I'm okay. I pass on that. Every time. Nah, I'm okay.
Mike Tyson could be in his fucking casket. I wouldn't want to take a fight or take a punch with Mike Tyson. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. He just one of those dudes like, you know what? I pass. I'm okay. I'll find another way to make that money.
I'm definitely looking forward to the Tyson Roy Jones Jr. fight, though. I'm bummed that it got delayed. But you know, I'm definitely looking forward to it. We're kind of our podcast is loosely associated with the Roy Jones Jr. team down in Pensacola. So, you know, I'm team Roy Jones over here, but it's still going to be fun.
I think it's going to be an interesting fight.
Two legends. You can't ask for anything better.
And people were fucking complaining about like, oh, it's going to be exhibition rules and no knockdowns, everything. But this is
these guys fight. Ain't fucking playing, dude. They're coming in hot. I mean, they got something to prove.
Dude, I'm watching it for nostalgia. You have Roy Jones Jr., multiple weight class champion, Olympic silver medalist for our country. The fuck, yeah. And he should have been a gold medalist too. He got fucked. We'll talk about that another
time. Yes, he did.
Yeah, revenge for fucking. I don't even want to get into it. I will rant. But like, then you have Mike Tyson too, one of the baddest men on the planet. Like, either way, I don't care. I don't give a fuck. They could dance around the ring for 10 rounds. I don't even give a shit. This is nostalgia. This is two of the greatest of all time to ever do it. I hope Roy Jones Jr. raps his songs when he's going to the ring. Just say.
Somebody's going to get knocked out. Somebody's going to get knocked out. These guys ain't just going to go in there and do like a pity pat, you know, exhibition match.
That's how
they're headhunting. They're going to be headhunting.
Somebody get hit. But, all right, you ready to turn this up now?
They're going to turn it up.
Cleveland, who's your pick for the fight?
I say Roy Jones right now. I got Roy Jones, man. His footwork and he's fast, man. He's very fast. He just can't stand in front of Mike Tyson, man. He's standing in front of Mike Tyson. It's gonna be a bad night for him.
He won't do that. He won't do that. He's gonna do his typical, you know, Roy Jones thing. He's gonna, you know, stick and move and, you know, land that that check left hook.
Yeah, I think that's gonna frustrate Mike Tyson a lot.
Yep.
Mike Tyson's a different fucking animal, though. He penetrates defenses like a girl on prom night. You know what I'm saying? Like he will find a way to get you. He's a hunter, and Roy Jones Jr. will not have a reach advantage. It's not gonna be like Mike Tyson versus Tony Tucker or Lance Lewis or Buster Douglas, where he's gonna have a significant reach advantage. Mike Tyson.
I didn't think about that. Without a reach advantage. Whew. I don't know
that Mike still has that, you know, I'll eat your children kind of, you know, dog in him. Yeah, I don't know that he still has that. He's been smoking a lot of weed lately, so he might be too chill to have that kind of attitude. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, he don't seem to have that kind of, you know, demon in him anymore. So we'll see what happens, man. It's a lot more chill and, you know, self-reflecting Mike Tyson these days.
Well, you know how sparring is, man. You like, yeah, I'm going to take it easy. Then I'm going to go real light. Then somebody hits you, like, okay, I'm about to whoop some ass. Then you turn that switch on.
Hopefully
he know how to turn that switch on.
He's one of the best ever, man. They both are.
I figured out how a knockout happens, okay? A promoter is going to sneak in to his hotel room at the dead of night and just take away Mike Tyson's weed and Mike Tyson's weed. I'm just you gonna fucking kill everybody. I'm telling Roy Jones you. Here.
Put a fake letter from Roy Jones. You get this after the fight. Really.
All right, Cleveland, my brother. All right, so we have to wrap it up, but any shout-outs you want to give? Any upcoming events? You're the man for coming on the show. I love fucking talking to you.
Thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate this. I don't have no shout outs or anything. Oh, I want to thank Club Boost because that's my only sponsor. But other than that, man, I want to thank y'all for having me on.
Where can I find you on Instagram? Like, where can I add you?
BBM_chasing_greatness26.
All right. You got a new fanboy, brother. Thank you so much for coming on the show, man.
Thank you.
You're the man.
Y'all have a great one.
You too, buddy.
Fucking awesome, man.
Yeah, cool guy, man. I have to go follow him now.
Oh, there he is. The legend himself. The GOAT. Yeah, what's going on, boy?
I don't know about that, man. I had a little bit of an issue that I had to take care of. The late afternoon PMs, man, they catch up on you. I got to take care of business, so. Now I'm cleaned out and ready to go.
You're a busy man. And Gabe, just make an introduction. Gabe, this is Vince. Vince is from the Bare Knuckle Bruise podcast. Vince, this is Gabe, former WBC champion and UFC veteran. And we also have the GOAT, the man himself, Chris Leiter. What's going on, brother?
What's happening, fellas? Good to see you guys, man. Gabe, long time. My goodness, what are you doing there, brother?
It's been quite some time, Chris. Everything well with you?
Oh, I couldn't be better, man. Vince, what's happening? How you doing, buddy?
What's up, buddy?
Happy to be here.
Good to see you, buddy.
What's up, buddy? Happy to be here. So, Chris, how's everything going with the Ken Chris documentary? How's everything rocking with that?
Man, it's coming very nicely. I'm excited. Hopefully, we'll be over to Japan here soon. It does kind of depends on this little pandemic. You guys have heard about it. Kind of slowing things up a little bit right now.
Gotcha. And you know, is it going to be released on Netflix? Like, how's it going to be distributed?
Yeah, it's going to be on Netflix. I'm not even sure exactly when yet. You know, it just depends on when we get everything going. With going to Japan and kind of taking business. Oh, by the way, I listened a little bit to your show earlier. You talking about this? Bad news for you guys. As far as this, ain't zero fun. People think something's going to happen. Highly disappointed.
I disagree.
I don't think so, but I don't think neither one of those guys are taking it. I think that's my prediction.
So Gabe and Chris, who are your picks for this fight? Roy Jones Jr. versus Mike Tyson. And first you, Gabe.
Well, there's a couple things there. Like for me, Roy Jones is one of my favorite boxers of all time. And you know, his speed and movement was everything. But let's be honest, his chin is kind of gone and speed is gone too with age. You know, Tyson hits hard, but I think if Roy can keep it going into the later rounds, I think we're definitely going to have a better fight. But Tyson lands one of those bombs on Roy, I see it being over.
And Mike Tyson is like a loose cannon. Like, you know, at any given time, you turn it up on Mike Tyson, Mike Tyson's going to light that ass like a fucking Christmas tree. Like, Chris, who are your picks for Mike Tyson versus Roy Jones Jr.?
Like I said, I think it's going to go the distance and nobody's going to win or lose because there's not going to be judges for it. I don't think that they actually want to fight. Roy Jones, his chin is gone. If Mike wants to hit him hard, he's going to hurt him. And I don't think that – you know, they offered Mike Tyson to fight. Bare Knuckle offered him very good money. He said, no, why would you do that? Well, because he can do a sparring session with his friend and make a lot more money. So that's what's going on, in my opinion. I think people are going to be highly disappointed when these guys don't go out. I mean, neither one of those guys wants to take a beating anymore. I know it.
Gotcha. And speaking about Bare Knuckle, actually, you dabbled in Bare Knuckle fighting. What are your thoughts about Bare Knuckle as an organization? Obviously, you might have come across events. Vince actually follows the sport, does a podcast on the sport. What are your thoughts about Bare Knuckle?
Oh, I absolutely love Bare Knuckle. If it had been around 5 years before that, I would have done a lot more of them. It's just I'll be 46 here in a week. Yeah, I'm old as hell. I mean, the body doesn't heal as well. I did 3 Bare Knuckle fights. I love it. I wish I could have done more. But, you know, I'm doing commentary for him now, and I'm enjoying doing that aspect of it. It's a lot of fun. We just signed Paige Van Zandt, huge signing for us. Man, the sky's the limit for this sport. It is fantastic. And people still in this sport, they don't think it's an athletic contest. They think it's a fist fight. You know, you get a lot of these UFC fighters or even boxers. It's about, you know, managing the fight and making sure you win without taking damage. And it's all about winning at all costs. These guys just want to fight in big KFC. They just want to punch them in the face, and that's why people love watching. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, Chris does a great job with the commentary, man. He and Sean Woolock are, you know, they're locked in on this commentary thing, man. They're two of the best in the business. So it's awesome. A little bit of reverb, man. It's kind of throwing me off a little bit, but they're great.
And Gabe, have you like obviously you guys have come like cross pathways. Like Gabe, what are your memories of Chris? And Chris, what are your memories of Gabe?
Oh, I used to love it. We fought the WBC together. Go ahead, Gabe.
Yeah. Yeah. So we fought in the WBC together, and then I remember I was going to fight Savant Young, who you fought in the WBC. And I don't remember how I got your number, but I called you, and I think the best part about it was like you were so just respectful about Savant, and like just like look, you know, it's a fight to fight. He's a tough guy. I won the fight. Like I was, you know, he's a tough. Like it was. I think you gave me so much and gave me so little all at the same time. But the biggest takeaway for me was like how respectful you were. You know what I mean? Like I think you tapped Savant easily with a guillotine. It was nothing for you. But you were super respectful towards him, and that was one thing that always held me back. Like you know what? Chris is a solid guy. And if anyone brings up Chris Ladd, I'm always like, Chris is one of the most solid guys that I've met in this sport. You know, we fought together on the same cards. And then I think that when I called you, just out of the blue, you know, you gave me what you could, and we're still respectful to the opponent. I found that said a lot about your character.
Man, I appreciate that. But you know, anybody willing to get in there and fight, he was a tough guy. I remember I threw a lot of elbows and punches at him, and he took up, you know, and he's a strong, powerful guy. I ended up choking him like that, but it was just anybody willing to get in there and duke it out, you know, I have respect for her, so I'm not going to sit there and bash any people unless they're a prick, and he was not. So, but every time me and Gabe were on the card, Gabe always had a great attitude, and we always had fun, I thought. So I love my days in the WEC.
Now, yeah, man, he's a solid guy, man. Like, he's just one of those guys that, like, he does everything, and, like, how can you not like him? I mean, every time he fights, he comes to fight. As far as what I look for in a fighter, that's Chris Lytle, man. Like, that's the type of guy. Like, he's there to fight, and he's going to be respectful. And yeah, man, how can you not like that guy?
So Chris, I want to actually bring this to your attention because we were talking about this earlier about the Muhammad Ali Act. And we were talking about this with mixed martial arts. I actually want to talk to Gabe about this. I never asked his opinion. So I want to talk to both of you guys. But first, Chris, then Gabe, like, what's your opinion about the Muhammad Ali Act? And could that, you know, because, you know, I think the sport should take care of its legends. I think it should take care of its athletes, everybody. So what are your opinions on the Muhammad Ali Act?
I mean, there's obviously a lot of positive things with the Muhammad Ali Act. I like that a lot better than some of the other aspects of, you know, you talk about certain unionizing things and you know, people got to understand that there could be good and bad aspects of that aspect of the fight game. So you got to be very careful what you're asking for, because sometimes you can push things too far and you can hurt yourself and your organizations can go away. And you know, you want there to be some competition, and if there's only one game in town, if there's only the UFC, and they're the only one who could afford it, that might be another problem. So you got to be careful with how you word things. But in general, I think Muhammad Ali Act has a lot of positive things. The UFC has a pretty good thing where they go with, well, you guys are not employees, you're subcontractors, but it's like, what kind of subcontractors have to wear a uniform and have to be ready for drug tests all the time? So there's a lot of holes in their whole game. To me, I would like to see the UFC – you know, self-impose some kind of a thing where they would go, hey, this is going to be like the NFL, the NBA. If you play here in the NFL, if you play there for 4 years, you're vested, you get some form of a pension. Now, we don't do years, but let's say you fight 12 fights. That's like average of 3 a year. For 4 years, you'll get some form of a pension. I don't even care if it's, you know, maybe you can stagger it, but if they fight there 20 times, they get more, 30 times more, but they should get a couple thousand, something each month, because nothing makes me sadder than to see a fighter who's like at the end of his career and he's still fighting what he doesn't want to do. He's fighting for money because he has no other option. That bugs the piss out of me. They have enough money, they can set that up for very little. I mean, what the UFC sell for $4.2 billion? Take that $0.2 and you can set that up for the next 20 years.
Right. And Gabe, what's your opinion on the Muhammad Ali Act?
I mean, look. I am part of a current ongoing litigation against the UFC. One of the things that was learned in the discovery is that 12% of profit is going back to the talent, the people that are putting their lives on the line, that are putting their health on the line. 12%. So that means that everything else is going to the promotion. That is a massive disparity. To give you an idea, when I took my fight with Joe Lauzon, I had a back injury, okay, and I got an MRI right before the fight. I think I had like a 6 millimeter herniation, okay. I then fought my next fight, and after the fight, my back was destroyed. It went to, I think it was 18 millimeters. So the UFC said, oh, it happened during the fight, so we'll take care of it, right? And then they said, oh, no, you had a previous MRI, so it was a pre-existing issue. We're not paying you anything. So I had to get my back, done at $40,000 cost to myself.
Mm.
Like, I put my body on the line to fight. Not, I mean, look, I made the decision to do it. I signed the contract, but there's an issue when Dana White pays his tips more than I make in a fight.
Right. So
there needs to be some change. There needs to be something. We put it on the line. We fight our ass off. I mean, like, Chris, I think you can absolutely attest to this. We put it on the line. And I'd rather die than give up. And I've lost fights, and, you know, that's neither here nor there. The idea that we go in there and we sacrifice but get nothing in return is dishonorable for the whole sport.
Well, and that's why, to me, my whole thing is, if you've been there, if you fought there, and you helped build this organization, there should be something there for you at the end. Like I said, when they sold for $4.2 billion, you take that $0.2 and you put that to the fighters to take care of the people who built this for the, and that'll pay for that for, you know, 20 to 30 years, I would think. I mean, we're not asking for a ton of money, just something to make sure people aren't continuing to, like, some sort of a pension or something. I mean, I think that's reasonable. But, you know, you have to fight for that the whole time.
And having two legends on
Well, the other part of it is they're still making money off of us. They're still making money. The fight pass, every time someone watches it, we don't get paid for that. Look, I have a friend that was in Karate Kid 3. Okay, he still gets revenue checks.
Yeah.
Every year, it's a couple $100, but every time it's played, he gets some money. Every time that the Ultimate Fighter gets watched, and I hear it gets replayed all the time, I get zero. Every time my fight gets aired, I get zero. Every time they use it as a highlight, I get zero.
And
how is that fair in the revenue of entertainment?
And just to interject, people haven't figured out the whole online streaming thing, especially how residuals play out. Like UFC Fight Pass, that's a loophole. Like ESPN Plus, whatever that bullshit is. Like even WWE whatever network, you know, they're trying to figure out residuals and how people are going to get paid for that. Like they still haven't figured out that revenue stream that goes to the fighters. But, you know, neither here or there. Like you guys have accomplished. Like when it boils down to it, you guys built the sport. You guys were a part of that elite group that helped build this fucking sport to where it is today. And with all your accomplishments and all your accolades, and starting with Chris and going to Gabe, like, is there anything that you felt like you should have done, or somebody that you wish you could have fought, or something that is some place that you wish you could have fought? Like, any type of regrets you have with your career because you helped build this? I mean, if you look back on things.
You know, I mean, there's always some part of me that wishes at some point I would have, you know, quit the fire department and just tried to do this, you know, full time, because I never really did it full time, I guess. The only time I ever trained like a real fighter, I think, when I was on the Ultimate Fighter. But besides that, I was on the fire department, you know, full time and having four kids. And there's always a part of me that wishes I would just said, forget it, you know, quit everything else, move to a different place and really go after it. But I mean, you know, I loved my life. I loved everything I was doing, and I felt like I was still good enough to be towards the top doing what I was doing. So I was like, I'm not going to change anything. I can do it this way, and you know, I'm gonna do it my way, you know, and I tried it my way. I have nothing but good memories.
How about you, Gabe?
Well, I mean, you know, like it's here and there. I mean, you have an 11-year career, and there are guys that I fought that I would love to have a rematch with. I would have loved to fight Joe Lauzon again. There were a lot of guys that you know that I would have liked to have fought. You know, but I when it's all said and done, I did it because I was passionate about it. It had nothing to do with making money. It wasn't about fame. It wasn't about, you know, getting chicks. I mean, Chris and I both started in the dark ages. You know, I mean, I remember to get fights, like, you just would just take any fight that was given you. And, you know, whoever showed up was who you fought. I mean, I remember going to fight, like, there's no 55ers. You want to fight at 70? And I'm like, I mean, I'm here. Why not? You know? The dark ages of MMA is a different time frame. You know, there's a lot of give and take and regrets that come up. But look, I got an opportunity to do what I love for 11 years. I have so many great experiences. I met a lot of great guys. Like, I mean, dude, I've met so many exceptional individuals that do this for different reasons. I mean, look, Chris is a perfect example. He's a father of four that is a firefighter and is fighting on the side. And dude, you again, you can't watch his fights and not say that guy's a fighter.
Yeah, man.
I mean, look, there's always going to be takeaways that this could have happened, that should have happened, but you know what? It is what it is. But I will say that I hope the next generation gets treated better than we did.
Gotcha.
You know, Gabe, that's true. And I even feel bad. I look back at like the guys before us, the Mark Colemans, the Oleg Taktarovs, and there's a lot of guys out there. I feel like, man, I mean, I guess we had a little bit better than them in certain ways, you know? So, and the people after us had it way better. And hopefully it'll get to the point where everybody does really well. And I think that's kind of happening right now. But, I think we didn't have it as good as we could have, but there is some people who, Pete Williams goes like that. Like, man, they were at the top of the game and they probably didn't make what we did. So it is what it is. It's unfortunate, but I think I'm not going to look at it and be bitter about it. I'm just going to try and keep trying to do positive things and whatever. How's that lawsuit going, by the way, man?
It is a lawsuit, so we'll probably we'll probably see something in about 6-7 years from now.
2032 or something?
At least.
I'll say this. The discovery opened up some stuff that, like I said, that we didn't know how much was going to the fighters. When we found out that it was 12%, 12-15%, like that is a oh shit moment. And I'll tell you, Zupa did not want. They were using their attorneys with everything they had not to let us see that.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they got a team of the best, probably.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, oh, yeah. That's probably one good thing about like the NFL having a players union, right? Having people that are actually standing up for the actual people that are producing the product. I know that the kind of a fighters union may not be necessarily the best thing for everyone, but at least in that sense, you would have someone that kind of stood up for you. You know what I mean? Somebody that took the battle to the promotion for you so that, the fighters don't look like a dick whenever they, try to bring up things.
Well, that's a problem. The fighters really can't, because then all of a sudden you're going to get blackballed from that.
Exactly.
Organization. So that's why I was really hoping that, enough pressure could be put on the UFC for them to preemptively do something like this on their own. So they don't have to pay even more money. That's kind of what I'm hoping, is they will come up with something on their own. This is going to help make us look good, and it's going to take care of the fighters. Until that happens, something's going to happen to make them change. It's either going to be a lawsuit, or they're going to have to think, hey, this is a cheaper, better alternative, and then they'll do it.
Or everybody's going to go to one FC, and they're going to take care of everyone, and, Dana's going to be sitting there scratching his head. So.
Yeah. Good luck with that one, though.
Unfortunately, never happened.
So,
unfortunately, having that 800-pound gorilla means that they can essentially do what they want.
Yep.
So, question for both of you guys. We talk about accolades and talk about you guys being pioneers. We have a question. Maybe better contracts should be negotiated for the old school fighters going forward. I absolutely agree with you. I mean, you guys aren't just suffering for the betterment of mixed martial arts. You guys are a part of that elite group that built the sport to what it is today. And, I stress that. And you guys are so humble about it, which is, it's great to talk to you guys about the sport. And, I grew up watching you guys, both of you guys. My question is, going forward, and not just like from a money standpoint, lawsuit standpoint, and now that we're in a different time where the pandemic is going on, where all businesses are suffering, what do you think about the state of mixed martial arts? And starting with Chris and with Gabe, what do you think MMA has to do to adapt with no crowds? That revenue stream is gone. What does MMA have to do to adapt to the current times?
I mean, personally, I feel like they're in a pretty good position right now, because yes, there is no crowds right now, and yes, here's the thing. You have a captivated audience who's extremely excited right now about anything live that they can watch. A lot of these other sports too are doing a lot of things that are pissing the public off. They're kneeling, they're doing whatever, and the UFC has none of that. So you're getting people who are not wanting to watch certain sports. There's a high percentage of that. People are loving the fights right now. You have a captivated audience who's there ready to watch. I think the UFC and really combative sports in general is in a position right now where they have a lot more people who can buy the pay-per-view, even if they're cheaper ones, if it's not like the UFC. Just people are there, they're going to stream, they're going to watch these things. I think they're in a great position to move forward and make a lot of people happy and make a lot of money.
How about you, Gabe?
Well, I think right now is an interesting time. Chris fought in Japan. Japan is very, very quiet anyways. There's very, very few. I mean, you'll hear like, when a certain moves happen, there's some clapping and that's the extent of it. But I think the one thing I see is, and this is for all formats, we're going to web-based, we're going to apps. So this current climate will probably stick around. The live revenue is obviously something they want to keep involved in, especially because there's other ways of making money, whether it be merchandise or food or beverage. I think it's probably going to stay in this current format in some way or the other. I think it's definitely a turning point for the way things are viewed.
Yeah. And it reminds me of like the good old days where you guys used to fight for like King of the Cage and other promotions where you guys fought in front of like maybe 100 people or like 30 people. And like it reminds me so much. It gives me the flashbacks to the days of tape trading where I'm watching these tapes and these fights are on a camcorder and there's like 30 to 100 people in the audience. And you guys fought during that era. You built the sport on that era, which is crazy. Now people are experiencing it now, right now, which is crazy.
Oh, yeah. I know I've been there many times when there wasn't a big crowd. I fought in Chicago once when a guy named Ed Kim put on a fight. Piece of shit. And he ripped everybody off. Nobody showed up. It was a great card, too. There was like six UFC veterans turned out to be on it. I think Rich Franklin was on it. Eugene Jackson fought Tony Franklin. Just a great card, but nobody showed up to the fight because I don't think he promoted it. He was just a young guy. Everybody's check bounced, at the end of it. But, I mean, yeah, there was probably 100 people there total, that counted workers and fighters, So, I mean, yeah, you could definitely hear people, in the crowd, there was no cheering. It was just like, there's probably more noise you're hearing on these UFCs than there was at that crowd. And like you said, fighting Japan many times, not much until a move happens, then there's clapping. And then I was on the, being on the Ultimate Fighter is exactly the same. So you're kind of used to it. It doesn't make that big of a difference, but, it does make a little bit of a difference. But, when you're in there to fight, man, I don't care if I'm fighting in front of 1,000 people, a million, or if I'm fighting on the moon. I'm just there to fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. Does it give you like flashbacks to the good old days where like nobody's in the crowd and people are just fighting just to fight?
It definitely does. And there's something to be said about that.
Fighting is fighting, man. Like my anxiety level is the same whether we're fighting. In front of nobody, or we're fighting in front of 18,000 people. The thing is, when it comes fight time, I'm only focused on one man. I don't care about anybody else. I don't care about his corner. I don't care about my corner. I don't care about the referee. I care about the person in front of me that is trying to cause me damage, and I'm trying to damage him.
And asking a question to Vince, and Vince, like, how's the state of bare knuckle boxing, like, actually being able to adapt, especially with no crowd or anything like that?
That's probably a better question for Chris, actually. I attend everyone that I can, but it's we haven't had a no crowd fight yet. We've had a limited capacity fight. The last one, the BKFC 11, was correct me if I'm wrong, Chris. I think it was like 25%. But it was, it was nice. I mean, we had somewhat of a shit venue, but it rolled on and it was a successful fight. It was a successful event.
You didn't like the heat up there, man?
Oh, God, man.
Hey, man. When we first pulled up, there's an outdoor area, and I thought, oh, my God, this is it. But then we went inside. I was like, oh, this shit, this looks nice, man. It wasn't bad at all. But, yeah, we still had a crowd. We haven't had to go to a crowdless yet, and I believe they're going to do a good job of that. If they have to go crowdless, we will. But, I mean, we're just got picked up by DAZN, and that's huge for us. I don't think you have any idea how much that's going to help us and give us legitimacy. So, going to get us in a lot of homes. A lot of people are going to see us. So, we're doing everything right. We're on the right path, and I can't wait till the next fight. And I'm not 100% sure when that is, but I know it's coming up soon.
Yeah, it keeps changing, man. I think, you know, Kansas City, or was it Kansas City?
Wichita,
yeah, but they've changed the venue. That's the next one, right? Misfit versus Peralta, I think, is the main event.
Yeah, I think the location might change it.
Right, yeah, of course. What do you think about the Paige VanZant signing, man? I couldn't even open Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, anything yesterday without seeing it.
That's all I'm seeing on there. That's huge, man. I mean, get her involved is big. I want to know who they're going to have her fight. It's kind of what I'm wanting to know right away. Because, I mean, that's some stacked weight classes she's got there. A lot of tough people, so. I can't wait to see who they're going to have her fight first. And well, I'm going to be able to commentate it.
Yeah, right. Her Instagram following alone, man, is going to bring, you know, more eyes to the promotion. You know, I'm pushing for our girl Athena. She hit me up immediately. It was like, we're talking about it. You know, I want to fight Paige. I was like, look, we can't have Paige lose right off. She's like, I don't care. I want to fight Paige. So, I mean, hell yeah. I'm team Sheena versus Paige VanZant right now.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. And here's, like you're saying, man, I mean, just the amount of eyes she can get on the sport is huge, because everybody I've talked to, once they watch it, they want to watch it again. It's not like, I mean, people like it. So all you have to do is get them to watch it once. And if so, you're going to have a fan for a long time. And they're, you know, it's a very reasonable price, and you get on DAZN, you know, they're going to like it once they see it. So we just got to get people to see it.
That's right. Yeah, man, I'm excited about it. They're saying November is the expected, you know, debut for Paige. So can't wait to see that.
Word.
Gabe, what's your opinion about bare knuckle boxing? I don't think I've ever asked you, and I pick your brain about everything. But, like, what's your opinion about bare knuckle boxing, Gabe?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's fun. I mean, there's. I mean, look, like, real fisticuffs is something everyone can appreciate. You know what I mean? Like, really, I appreciate the old Vale Tudo style of, like, no gloves.
We talked about that earlier.
You know, yeah. I hate to say it, but I would love this. If we could add more things to it, I'd be even more on board. But it's exciting, man. And, like,
what would you add, Gabe?
Which promotion? What's that?
What would you add?
I would add headbutts. I would add knees.
That's left leg.
What's that Muay Thai? Left leg, whatever that
is.
Let's go all in. Dude, people would be losing their minds. They would not want to turn it off. I know I would.
You'd have to show it in a different country. They wouldn't play it. They wouldn't allow it here.
Hey, Phuket, bro. Go to Phuket. They'll show you all
about it. I know. But hey, I want the real deal. I appreciate violence.
Gabe, you're speaking my language, you know, because when we started fighting, you could headbutt, but you couldn't need the head. And there was something about that where, you know, it opened other stuff up. I mean, you get somebody in the ground, you throw two knees to the head, they rolled over. I mean, they gave you more submission. You know, you headbutt a couple of times, you're like, damn, I better move my head. You know, I mean, I'm a purist, man. I want the less rules, the better, in my opinion. I'm 100% with you. It's a different sport. It's better. It's pure. I'm with you, man. I love it. And once you've done all that, so that's one of the reasons I had to do bare knuckle. Once I saw it, I was like, I got to do this at least once to try. And I was like, oh, yeah, I like this. This is where it's at. So, but the less rules, the better. You're right, Gabe.
I would love for them to add a spinning back fist to the rules, man. That's the one thing. If I could add something to BKFC, a spinning back fist would be awesome.
Be nice. I'll talk to some people.
You got the stroke over there, bro.
Could they actually legalize
Valentino? I think it's fun.
What?
Like, could they legalize Valentino, though? I mean, they'll pop in Jose Pele tapes and they'll fucking go bonkers, and they'll probably not. But, like, could they add a little bit more rules and, like, ground game to, like, bare knuckle fighting and, like, you know, technically make Valentino, or?
No, they don't. They don't want that. They don't want to go to the ground. They want stand up, 2 minute rounds, action packed, action, action. No, if you clinch, that's fine as long as you're still punching. But they want
you run, you get knocked.
Yeah. They don't want to go into the ground and tying up and slowing down the pace. They want to do. They want to keep. This is bare knuckle fighting. It's not bare knuckle boxing. But you can tie up. You can, as long as you're hitting the person hard and hurting them, they don't care.
That's right. I brought that up earlier, Chris. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Gabe. I think there's a little bit of a delay, but I brought this up earlier. David Potter kept calling it bare knuckle boxing, and I was like, oh, hold on a second. That's the UK. Like, this isn't bare knuckle boxing. This is bare knuckle fighting, right? This is a different sport.
Yeah, I did bare knuckle boxing over in London once, and I didn't like the fact that, like, when you get in too close and they tie up, and I wouldn't hit this guy, and you couldn't, and then you try hitting him in the body, and they're breaking you up. It's like there was so many clinches, and I could have just been killing this guy. And so I'm just like, you know, we want this to be as realistic as possible, more the most like a fist fight as possible. So when you tie up, I'm still hitting you. I don't care. You know what I mean? So we want it to be as much like a fist fight as possible, but we don't want it to be going to the ground where it's going to get stalled out. We want this to be the most exciting fist fight as possible, I should say. So that's the goal with the BKFC.
Gabe, did you ever do any type of bare knuckle fighting, boxing, any type of Valentino in your career? And I again, picking your brain, but like, have you ever done that or dabbled in it?
Well, you know what? I don't know what promotion hit me up, but about maybe a year or two ago, someone from one of the bare knuckle organizations hit me up, and I said, yeah, I mean, but it came down to money. You know what I mean? Like, I run my own school now and taking time for my family. And then I also saw that everyone in the previous one broke their hands. So, you know, it came down to money. And unfortunately, we didn't come to terms as far as money's concerned. But, I mean, I'd do it.
Of course you would, Gabe. Of course you would.
There's no reason not to,
I love combat. I got a buddy of mine who does Dog Brothers stuff. And once we get back out of this quarantine stuff, I'm going to start doing the full contact stick fighting and knife fighting. And,
holy shit, you know,
I don't know. I just appreciate combat, man.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yeah, man. And obviously we have to, it's 9:33, so we have to wrap up the show. But like, to a question to Chris and Gabe, like, as legends, pioneers, guys that helped build the sport on their back and literally broke their back while doing it, would you ever consider maybe doing another competition, maybe a grappling competition, bare knuckle competition, maybe another fight? Like, are you guys stepping away and watching the younger generation, or do you guys still have that itch that you have to scratch and sometimes just want to get back in there? And starting with Chris.
You know, I've done that a couple of times where I was retired for a while. I came back and did the bare knuckle. I've had surgery on my wrist and have problems like that. But I mean, to be honest with you, there's always a price. You know, that's what it comes down to. You know, I mean, if you pay me enough money, I'll punch my mama right in the face right now. I don't care.
Money talks.
So, yeah, there's always a price. If somebody wants to pay to see me fight, I would do it. But it would cost a lot more than it would have a while ago. You know what I mean? So, I'm very happy what I'm doing right now, doing the commentary. I'm very happy with, you know, doing what I'm doing. But, like, there's always a price. You know, don't offer me too much or I'll take it.
Everybody has a price.
How about you, Gabe?
I mean, I have a rule, okay? If anybody wants to fight me, my gym is open. Sign a waiver. I don't care who you are. If you want, I'm all in, right? But that is a different thing than if you're going now. If you want me to fight as an entertainment factor, then you have to make some money so I can put it towards my family. If it provides for my family, I'm all in. But if you want to play for blood, then we're doing all rules, and and then I'm going to give you everything I've got, and I hope that you're prepared for it.
That's where Gabe and I differ. I only fight for money. You want to come with me? We fight. I'm getting money. I'm not doing this for pride. No. I want money.
Any last question from you, Gabe? Vince, for Chris?
I appreciate you guys having me on. I will say I don't know Gabe personally. I do know Chris. I've seen him in action. He's a very humble guy, man. We've been out at casinos after fights, before fights and stuff. And any fan that ever comes up to Chris and asks for an autograph or a picture or whatever, he's always, let's do it right now. He's a stand-up guy, man. He's one of my favorite people in the world. He does an awesome job with the commentating. So, shout out to you, Chris. Man, you're doing a great thing, man.
Man, I appreciate that, Vince. I can't wait to see you here in a couple of weeks and hang out. We'll go do some more damage out in the town.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Again, hey man, great to see you again, brother. I used to love hanging out with you and going out in more, California, having fun times. So can't wait to see you again sometime soon, I hope.
Look, man, if you're ever in California, let's grab some dinner or something. I would love that.
I appreciate it, man. I'll get a hold of you if I am.
And Gabe, any last questions for Chris? Okay. Obviously, you guys are friends. You guys know each other. But any last questions for Chris?
I got an important one.
Let's hear it.
How are the kids?
Oh, man. Hey, here's how old I am. I had two kids get married last year. Within 3 months of each other. That's how old I am. It's getting ridiculous. I turned 46 here in like 2 weeks. Two kids married, man. I got two. My other daughter's at Purdue. Crazy. I know, man. Crazy. So
Still a beast.
But, man, just very lucky I got great kids. I'm always seeing these horrible stories about people and their kids doing this and their kids doing that, and they're on meth and they're on heroin. There's problems. They're not getting jobs. My kids are great, man. I'm just so lucky.
Awesome, man. That's awesome. Chris.
That's the important thing right there.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me on. Thank you.
Chris, always an honor. Thank you for coming on for the second time. You are the man. You are a legend and a pioneer, just like Gabe, and you guys obviously know each other. And, birds of a feather, as they always say. So, Chris, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really do appreciate it, brother.
Anytime. You guys have a good one, man.
You too. Thank you. You too.
So, gentlemen, we're about to wrap up the Fight Mixer podcast. So, last thoughts, and obviously we had Vince Anderson from Bare Knuckle and Bruise coming on. Thank you so much for coming on, man. You have a great podcast with Sheena Starr, who's a friend of mine. She's a great gal, and obviously, again, birds of a feather. So tell us a little bit where we can find Bare Knuckle Bruise. Where can we find you? I want to continue listening to you, brother.
Yeah, on Instagram. We're still trying to build our presence on Instagram. It's at Bare Knuckles and Bruise. Facebook is the same. Facebook.com/BareKnucklesAndBrews. Check us out, man. We have some of the biggest names in Bare Knuckle, and we have a lot of friends, man. We just pull in like people that we know, people that we hang out with at the events, and we just kind of shoot the shit. So, we just bring them on, give them an opportunity to talk, give them a chance to shout out their sponsors and drink a couple beers if they so choose. And then also, Matt kind of, gave me a little bit of shit in the private chat about this, but definitely go check out Fusion CBD. That's FusionCBDProducts.com. Use code Knuckles at checkout.
Awesome. And Gabe, obviously WC champ, UFC veteran, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt, owns his own school, a great father, a great gentleman, if you will. Gabe, any parting words for this evening?
No, man. I'm sorry for being late today. I'm glad that Vince jumped in here and took the spot. I want to get back to it next week, and thanks everyone for hearing.
Gabe, you're a pioneer. You owe us nothing but your presence. And we thank you for being late, for being on time. Whenever you come on, it's an honor and a pleasure to speak to you. And I'm just as nervous talking to you and Chris as I ever was in our first episode. So, Gabe, you are the man. Vince, you are the man, and I look forward to listening to your podcast. So, from the Fight Mixer, incredible guests, incredible time we have with these great two guys, these great two co-hosts. So, signing off from Mr. Gabe and Vince Anderson, thank you so much for joining us for the Fight Mixer. Next week is going to be Mark Hunt on this show. Look forward to speaking to him. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Fight Net Mixer. Signing off. Peace.
Perfect. Hi, I'm Matt Seibel, producer of the Fight Mixer show. We have a good lineup of guests coming up next week. Take a look for yourself.